بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أمي عطية رضي الله عنها قالت: نهينا عن اتباع الجنائز ولم يعزم علينا، متفق عليه. ومعناه ولم يشدد في النهي كما يشدد في المحرمات. This is the last hadith in the chapter which deals with the Salah on the Mayyit, following the Janazah, being present at the time of the burial. And the last part which Imam Nawawi Rahimahullah in his introduction mentioned, Karahatu Ittiba'in Nisa Al-Janaiz, the fact that it is makruh, reprehensible, frowned upon in Shariat, or as we will see in the Hadith, prohibited for women to follow Janazah. Umm Atiyah radiallahu anha narrates that she says, we were prohibited, in other words, the women folk of Medina Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited them from following a janazah. However, with regards to the prohibition she mentions, she says, walam yu'azam alayna, the prohibition was not strict. And when we look at the categorization that the fuqaha or the ulama have put, one is things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted us to do, encouraged us to do certain things. Now with regards to that also, fuqaha have categorized this. In other words, something is mustahab, liked, desired. If you leave it out, there's no problem. Then even among sunnah, the sunnah mu'akkada, then ghair mu'akkada, then there are things that are completely obligatory, which can never be left out. Various categorization. With regards to prohibition also, sometimes it's a light level of prohibition, sometimes it's a severe prohibition. Generally in ahadith where some azab of jahannam is mentioned, or some severe punishment is mentioned, generally, ulama-i-kiram have categorized this as a severe prohibition. In other words, something that's totally and completely haram. In this instance, so far as women following the janazah, Umm Atiyah radiallahu anha says, وَلَمْ يُعْزَمْ عَلَيْنَا, the prohibition was not strict. However, according to vast majority of the scholars, in any instance, it will not be permissible for women to follow a janazah. Sometimes, in doing one good deed, a person ends up doing something that is haram and totally prohibited. So we have to be careful. For example, if women are going to follow a janazah with men, then there is a very real possibility of intermingling taking place. And obviously that is something that is totally prohibited in Shariat. So for that reason, ulama say the prohibition is severe. Likewise, women by nature tend to be more emotional. So there is a very strong possibility and likelihood, if women are going to take part in this entire burial process physically with the men, they are more likely to start wailing, lamenting. And we see in the previous ahadith, Noha or Niyaha, that is wailing, lamenting, screaming loudly, etc. All these things are totally and completely prohibited. Because the women generally tend to be more emotional, get more emotionally distressed than men more easily. So these are the factors that ulama ikram have taken into cognizance. And they say that now there is general consensus of the prohibition of women following a janazah, taking part in that process, etc. In fact, Ibn Amir al-Hajj, a great scholar who lived in the 7th century of Islam, 7th century, latter part, till the beginning of the 8th century, he comments that it's possible that the prohibition was not strict in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that was khairul qurun. It was the best of all periods from a spiritual or Islamic perspective. So generally, they would follow the commandments of Allah Ta'ala and refrain from other prohibitions, for example, intermingling, laughing, joking, etc., between men and women, etc. Yet he says that with the current period, he's talking about the 7th century, in other words, 7 centuries ago, if you look at it holistically, we are in the 14th or 15th century now. He says in the current period, there is such a level of disregard for the prohibitions of Sharia that now it will not just be something that we have a choice. The prohibition will be strict and severe. If 7 centuries ago he's talking about that, we can see what our current period is now. Obviously, it's quite clear that such prohibition would be severe or strict. Babu istihbabi takthir al musallin al al janaza وجعل صفوفهم ثلاثة فأكثر. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, with regards to increasing the number of musallis in a janaza, he brings this chapter that this is something that is mustahab, desirous. In fact, it is part of the mizaj and temperament of Shariat that we try and increase the number of people that take part in a janaza salah. In fact, the latter part of his heading, he says that if possible, try and make it 3 safs or even more than that. Depending on the number of people that are there at the time of the janaza, we will divide them obviously into safs. Generally, try for that number of musallis that you don't have just one saf. And obviously, in anything good, the odd number is preferred, so 3 or 5 or 7 or 9, etc. Now, when we look at takthirul musallin, number of musallis in a janaza salah, we increase, we find that various ahadith are mentioned as to what is the desired number. Overall, the principle is as many as possible, but try for how many? At least try for, according to the various ahadith, first we find there is a special virtue if the musallis are at least 100 that took part in the janaza. Then we find some ahadith where 40 are mentioned. And some ahadith which leads to this mention in the heading, at least 3 rows or 3 safs. Some scholars have mentioned that first Allah Ta'ala promised forgiveness, His mercy, if there are 100 musallis. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala's mercy was such that this was lessened, the condition was lessened, or at least 40 people. And then even lessened further, that if not 40 people, at least 3 rows and 3 safs. As I mentioned previously, according to this, the objective is to draw as many people as possible. Why? Because more attendees, more people take part in the janaza, there will be greater reward also for the deceased. And obviously, why are you taking part in janaza? What is the objective? Dua. Dua for the mayyit. Dua for yourself, contemplation, etc. And all this attracts reward. And the more duas for the mayyit, there is a greater likelihood Allah Ta'ala will accept the dua and make it a means of maghfirat for that particular mayyit. And Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما من ميت يصلى عليه أمة من المسلمين يبلغون 100 كلهم يشفعون له إلا شفعوا فيه رواه مسلم. عائشة رضي الله عنها narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said there is no mayyit, in other words a janaza, upon whom an ummat, ummat here will mean large number of Muslims take part in his janaza. How many? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they reach 100. In other words, at least 100. Kulluhum yashfa'una lahu. What is the purpose? To intercede. Intercession in this sense, to make dua. Dua of maghfirat. Ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness for that mayyit. Illa shufi. So, in asking and making dua for that mayyit, you are actually interceding on his behalf. Sifarish, intercession. And shufi'u fi. If it is 100, Allah's mercy is such, Allah is not going to reject 100 people. So Rasulullah SAW said that their intercession will be accepted. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qala, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما من رجل مسلم يموت فيقوم على جنازته 40 رجلا لا يشركون بالله شيئا إلا شفعهم الله فيه رواه مسلم. رواية ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. He says, I heard رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, there is no Muslim person who passes away and upon his janaza, 40 people stand. So the first hadith, 100. In this hadith, 40. One condition, la yushrikuna billahi shay'a. None of them ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, it's going to be a believer, a person of tawheed, a person who believes in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, that takes part in a janaza salah. But why specifically? Why specifically in the hadith? Rasulullah SAW mentions this caveat, la yushrikuna billahi shay'a, because in this isharatan, there is a slight indication and reminder that many times, particularly when it comes to janaza, qabristan, etc., sometimes people go beyond the limitations. Instead of making dua for the mayyit, they make dua from the mayyit, na'uz billah. Or it involvement in these type of things leads to shirk. So we are given a particular warning that be careful. When it comes to a mayyit, Nafi' is Allah, Dar is Allah, Muhi is Allah, Mumit is Allah. Everything lies in Allah Ta'ala's hands. Don't turn your attention towards that mayyit. That mayyit, in fact, that's a sabak, a lesson. How can that mayyit fulfill any needs of yours when right now he is totally and completely helpless? You can see it in front of you. You are there making dua for him. So la yushrikuna billahi shay'a. 40 people who do not ascribe partners to Allah Ta'ala, illa shafahumullahu fi, except that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala will accept the intercession on behalf of this mayyit. And Marthad bin Abdullah al-Yazani qala, kana Malik ibn Hubayra radiyallahu anhu إذا صلى على الجنازة فتقال الناس عليها جزأهم عليها ثلاثة أجزاء ثم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى عليه ثلاثة صفوف فقد أوجب رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن. The narrator of this riwayat is Murthid bin Abdullah al-Yazani. He was a senior tabi'i, not a sahabi. A tabi'i, in other words, the generation after Sahaba Ikram. He narrated from various Sahaba, Uqba bin Amir, Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He passed away in the 90th year of Hijrah. He narrates that Malik bin Hubayra, who is a Sahabi, so tabi'i, generation after Sahaba, is narrating from a Sahabi. So, Murthid bin Abdullah Yazani, Tabi'i, senior Tabi'i. He says, Malik bin Hubayra, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would perform janaza salah, if he felt the number of people was less, فَتَقَالَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا, then what he would do is he would divide them into three safs. In other words, try to create an environment of takthirul musalleen, that the number of musallis are lot. That's why he would divide them. And then he would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person upon whom three safs, in other words, the minimum should be three safs. Three safs perform janaza salah, faqad awjab. Jannat, Allah's forgiveness becomes wajib, compulsory. There is nothing that is compulsory on Allah. This is an indication of Allah's extreme mercy, that this term awjab is used. Like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah has made farz upon himself, ordained upon himself mercy. This is expression of Allah's mercy. Nothing is compulsory upon Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala can forgive if he wants, Allah can reject if he wants. But we have this hope and expectation the general mizaj and temperament, the objective of these various riwayat, 40 mentioned in one, 100 mentioned in one, 3 stuffs mentioned in one, is that as far as possible, as many as possible should try to attend the janazah and make dua for the mayyit. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.